Good morning, everyone. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have told us that the way of blessing is the way of listening to you, that your word will find a real place of governance in our lives. We pray that we might hear your word and be careful today to put it into practice. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today we come to Proverbs chapter 8. I had a childhood hero. His name was Alan Keith Davidson. He was a great all-rounding fast bowler for Australia. He played cricket for Australia between 1953 to 1963. And in 1964, he published his autobiography called 15 Paces. Now, my last year at high school was 1964, and although I was studying for the Leaving Certificate, I couldn't resist reading Davo's 15 Paces autobiography. It's the first biography I ever read, and it caused me to love biography and reading it. Proverbs chapter 8, which we've already had read for us, is really autobiographical, but it is an autobiography like none other. Most biographies, like Davo's biography, is just good holiday reading. It's entertaining. But the context of Proverbs chapter 8 as an autobiography of wisdom, wisdom's story, is quite unique. If you look at the last word of chapter 7, the last word of chapter 7 is death. And then in the next chapter, the last word of chapter 9 is Sheol, the depths of Sheol, or the place of the dead. And the last word here of chapter 8 is death. In other words, this is an autobiography which says that these are life and death matters. If you read this autobiography, it will lead you to wisdom, which will lead you to life. If you disregard this autobiography, it will lead you to death. So this is a serious matter. Whoever governs you now will have eternal consequences. Now, no other biography I know claims to have to underline the importance of response like this. But the way you respond to this autobiography will determine your eternal future. Now, here is an autobiography with five sections, and you've got five fingers on your hand. And so I've got an acronym, FARGO, F-A-R-G-O, to sum up what chapter 8 of Proverbs is all about, F-A-R-G-O. And the F comes in verses 1 to 3. It is the foreword of this autobiography. The foreword, by the way, of 15 Paces was written by Sir Donald Bradman. But here, the foreword in chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, is by King Solomon, and he reminds us what wisdom will do. Look at verse 1. She calls. She raises her voice. She cries aloud. Where does she do this? In the heights, verse 2, at the crossroads. Verse 3, beside the gates, at the portals, that is, at the place just outside your front door of your home. In other words, Solomon says that wisdom is preparing an autobiography, but in the foreword he says the great feature of God's wisdom is that she is available. And she's available, there's nothing elite about her, she's available to everyone. You don't have to pay a high price, you don't have to go a long distance to access her. F, foreword. A, verses 4 to 11. What are her activities? See what she says in verse 4. She says she addresses herself to all mankind. To you, O humankind, I call. My cry is to the children of men. Verse 5, to the simple and fools, to those who are not in touch with reality. That's her activity. She speaks to them. Verse 6, she says she offers truth that won't make you blush. What she has to say is noble. Verse 7, what she has to say is true, for my mouth will utter truth. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are righteous things. That's what she's offering. It's wonderful, isn't it? And then if you look at verse 10, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. In other words, wisdom is offering invaluable things, true things, noble things, righteous things. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. No bank balance can compare with having wisdom. The wealthiest people without wisdom are actually paupers. Here's great activities. Here's great value. She says, I'm speaking. That's what I do. I'm available. Access me. Don Carson, the New Testament scholar, tells a story on one occasion of his mother. She was asked, what do you do, Mrs. Carson? And she said to the questioner, I am a builder. Oh, what do you build? She was asked. She said, I build character. I build character. And wisdom comes before us after the foreword, and she says, my activity is to bring you true things, noble things, things that won't make you blush, things which are righteous, things which you will surpass any of the wealth the world knows. Forward, activities, A, F-A, and now thirdly, R. Look at verse 12 to 21. Her referees, who are her housemates? Why, they are prudence, knowledge, discretion. They speak on behalf of wisdom. What is it that wisdom hates? Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance in the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. Why? Because she is governed by the fear of the Lord, verse 13. She hates those things because she is governed by the fear of the Lord. She offers, verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. All these are available to you. And who does she offer them to? Verse 15 and 16. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule, and nobles who govern, all who govern justly. That's what led the German reformer Martin Luther to suggest that Proverbs was actually written as a manifesto for leaders of Israel. Solomon is writing for his fellow kings who were to follow him. Follow the way of wisdom. That is the best advice, he says, that I can give to you. My wife Maxine and I have been watching the series West Wing. We've finished it now. And it's all about an American president by the name of Josiah Bartlett. And then we got hooked on that, and we went on to another series on an American president called Designated Survivor. And that's about an American, fictional American president called Tom Bartlett. And we were talking to friends about watching West Wing and Designated Survivor, and they said, oh, they can't stand watching it anymore. Why can't you stand watching it? Because the gap between the fictional president and the real thing in the White House is too big a gap to surmount. It's too great. See, we in Australia can give thanks for the quality of the leadership we have. We have a Prime Minister who loves the Lord Jesus. And if you had a moment with the Prime Minister to give him advice, what advice would you give him? I think I'd say something to him like this. I'd say, just for the first 10 minutes every day, before all the advisors come into your office, spend 1 minute reading the book of Proverbs, 4 minutes thinking about what you've read, and 5 minutes praying it into your soul. Get that into you, and then open the door and let the advisors come in. See verse 15? Here, kings, rulers, princes, nobles, come and learn here, and you'll grow in your capacity to lead and rule God's people. Forward. Activities, her referees, those who commend her, those who live with her. But now we come to the G, the Genesis, verses 22 to 31. And it is this section in the book of Proverbs which is by far the most difficult section to understand, because the debate here is who is she to speak? Who is she to speak like this? Where does wisdom come from? And it's interesting now that wisdom tells us in this autobiography about her genesis, where she came from. And verse 22 is the only verse to begin with Yahweh in all of this section. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Who is she to speak this way? She says, first and foremost, everything she is springs from her relationship with the Lord, with Yahweh. She says, Yahweh brought me forth. He possessed or owned me from the very beginning. I am the first of his acts. And therefore, he made a priority of me. Yahweh never did anything without me. Verse 23, she goes on. He installed me before the beginning of the earth. Ages ago, I was set up. At the first, before the beginning of the earth. Verse 24, I was brought forth when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, before the first of the dust of the world. I was there, I was pre-existent. I was there when he established the heavens, verse 27. I was given birth, to, verse 25. And then in verse 30, she says, I was like a master workman, a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. When he established, look at verse 27, when he established, when he drew a circle. Verse 28, when he made. Verse 28, when he established. Verse 29, when he assigned. In time and space, I was there. Wisdom did not do the work, but he encouraged the work. And she delighted in the work. In fact, verse 30 and 31, I was there as the master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting particularly in his creation of the children of men. I was there, and I was rejoicing. And when he said it was good, I was in unison with him. It was good. That's where wisdom comes from. Who is wisdom? In the 1990s, when I was at SMBC, we built a building which people know today as the Weekly Building, a library building, a building of lecture rooms, the Weekly Building. I was there when the architect spread out his plans before the board. I was there when we went to the local council with a development application. I was there in the local land and environment court when we won the case to have the building built. I was there when the first excavation of the site was made. I was there when the first concrete was poured. I was there on the day the builder said, "We can now walk up outside onto the roof." I was there the day the building was opened. I know that building. I rejoice in that building, but I did not build that building. So it is with wisdom. Wisdom was there. Wisdom was there when God called the world into being. God did nothing without wisdom. Who is wisdom? Wisdom is pre-existent. Wisdom was present at creation. Wisdom hated pride. Wisdom offers us life. Is wisdom Jesus? No. Wisdom is not Jesus. Wisdom foreshadows our Lord Jesus. But Jesus does and is more than wisdom. Jesus fulfills wisdom and exceeds wisdom. And things which are said of Jesus cannot be said of wisdom. For example, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, by him, Jesus, all things were made. That can't be said of wisdom. John says in John chapter 1, verse 3, by him all things were created. That can't be said of wisdom. Hebrews 1, verse 2, he is the heir of all things. That can't be said of wisdom. Our Heavenly Father was guided by wisdom. His Son, the Lord Jesus, embodies wisdom. And the Spirit makes wisdom available to all. God did nothing without wisdom, and neither should you. The forward, the activities, the referees, the genesis. Now have a look at verse 32 to 36. The O stands for the offer. Wisdom makes an offer at the end of this autobiography. The most heartfelt offer follows. She calls. She pleads, she offers. Look at what she says, verse 32, "And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction. Don't neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. Whoever finds me finds life, and he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." See the emphasis? Listen, verse 32. Hear instruction, verse 33. Listen, verse 34. And she stresses, verse 32 and 34 stress, this is the way of blessing. Now, have you ever read a biography that concludes like this? Can you imagine reading the political autobiography of Bob Hawke? Doesn't conclude like this. Or not even Malcolm Turnbull concludes like this. Look at the conclusion of this autobiography. Verse 34, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Whoever finds me finds life, and whoever obtains favour from the Lord. For whoever obtains favour finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death." You never find a political biography that you read on holidays which makes the claims of Proverbs chapter 8. To find wisdom is to find life. All who hate me love death. She has your best interests at heart. Love her, and she will drive you to fear the Lord. Wisdom will drive you to God's reality. Open mine eyes, Lord. Take me to the cross of Jesus as the centre of all reality. Well, I put down 15 paces after I read it in 1964 and got back into my leaving certificate studies. I still see Alan Davidson each January at the Sydney Cricket Ground. He's 92 years of age now and he can barely walk. His cricketing days are long gone. But when I pick up this biography, there is no depreciation here. The claims are still valid. The promises are still sure. They have stood the test of time. Repent and trust in the Lord, and you will receive the Spirit from his Son. And this Spirit is no killjoy. It's not boring in any way. This is the way of life and true wisdom. Embrace, love, be governed by God and his word, and he will be your guide, and you will be truly blessed. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Fargo, forward, activities, referees, Genesis, and a most generous offer. Will you be governed by her? Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would lead us in the way of wisdom, for the way of wisdom to love and fear you and trust your Son is the way of true and ultimate and eternal blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.